Good morning. What a beautiful sight. What a beautiful sound. Thank you for participating. We've been led by some very good men as we have had the opportunity to honor God, to worship Him, to think about Him deeply. This morning, as we think about the throne of God, and Billy will also think about that with us a little bit this evening, what do you think of when you think of a throne? I Googled images of a throne, and they're all kinds. Some are exceedingly beautiful, ornate. Some are very simple, not trying to be funny, but even a commode was shown as we think about the throne. And so we think about thrones in a lot of different ways. As we think about the throne of God, we look at a picture this morning of a very ornate throne. And as we think about that, can you think about the throne of God? When you begin thinking about being before the throne of God, I listen to us pray regularly. And very often, we will say something like, Lord, we come before your throne of grace. When you hear that phrase, what goes through your mind? Are you thinking only about the grace? Are you thinking about a throne? Is it a literal throne? Is it a metaphorical throne? What are you thinking as you come before the throne of God? I've said very often, and I mean it maybe more than ever, as I think about or try to think about the throne of God, I have a very difficult time conceiving of what it would be like to be before the very throne of God. Perhaps you're thinking about bowing down before this awesome God that you and I read about and we know only a little bit about, in a way. You may be thinking about some ornate throne as God sits upon the throne, as perhaps Jesus sits upon the throne. When we read about the vision of Isaiah, when he sees God, we recognize that even by inspiration, we have a hard time understanding and getting a grasp of what being before the throne of God really means. Because in this chapter 1 of the book of Ezekiel, when Ezekiel is describing for us this scene, there are many descriptions that seem very strange to us. Would not be what you and I are thinking about as we're thinking about the throne of God. So he uses terms like as and like and in the appearance of. It seems that he just can't quite describe the glory of God to us in its fullness. And I would agree with that for me. Perhaps you have a better grasp of what it means to be before the throne of God. I want us to think for just a few moments as we think about this concept that's going to be studied very deeply throughout the week at Horizons. These young folks that are here for Horizons will have a very special chance to hear lessons, and they will talk about and discuss, study before the throne of God. We have many, many opportunities to be before God's throne. One of them is as we speak. What is on your mind? What are you thinking as we think about the throne of God? We can read a little bit about what occurred as we look at the book of Isaiah, and there are many, many other examples of people being before God. One of the things that you will notice is that when you see a vision of God's glory, it brings fear, causes people to tremble, does Isaiah, as we read this text. It causes the people of Israel, there are so many others that have trembled, it causes us to think about that fear. Fire is often there. If you take a look at Exodus chapter 3, when Moses is before God at the burning bush, you read again Isaiah 6, as David read it for us just a little bit ago, and we see Isaiah seeing fiery winged creatures. Israel saw fire and lightning at the top of Mount Sinai as they were gathered around the mountain as God was about to give the Ten Commandments to Moses. as you think about Exodus chapter 40 and the tabernacle being completed, there was going to be a pillar of cloud by day, but a pillar of fire at night. God was going to be with them. In Revelation chapter 1, when John received the revelation, as we have it recorded for us, he saw Jesus with fiery eyes. The Hebrew writer, in fact, reminds us in chapter 12 and verse 29 that our God is a consuming fire. What are you thinking this morning as you come before the throne of God? As we study from the book of Isaiah, let's share again this great text as we read verses 1 through 4 again. Listen carefully. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. You see, today, we're sitting here in a very comfortable building. There are no doorposts shaking at this moment. There is no house being filled with smoke. There are no winged seraphim creatures. As we think about that, and the concept of the seraphim in the Hebrew can mean burning or serpent, there is none of that. There is no fire. What's on your heart? What is on your mind as you come before the throne of God? Isaiah gives us a picture that we don't really understand fully, that we can't really see. Let's look at what the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 11, beginning in verse 33. Paul said, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become his counselor? Or who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." It's hard to get a glimpse of the glory of God, isn't it? You can read about Isaiah, and you can read about Moses at the bush. You can read about Israel at the mountain. You can read about the tabernacle and the fire over the tabernacle. You can read about John seeing the vision of Jesus and the eyes of fire. Hard for us to get a great glimpse this morning, isn't it? As we come before God's great throne. There are just a couple of things that Isaiah tells us that I want to share with you this morning that we can grasp without a doubt. As we think about Isaiah before the throne of God, Isaiah saw a vision of his lost nest. If we could grab the concept as fully as Isaiah did, as Ezekiel did, and all of these others, I'm pretty confident that we would be much more awake. We would be much more alert. We would be much more filled with awe and respect, fear, as we come before God. If we could fully comprehend what it means to be lost, because we sit this morning blessed so unthinkably. Can you grab a glimpse of what lostness is about? God tries in so many ways. But as Isaiah saw what he had before him, in verse 5, he said, "Woe is me." There are people in this room that are struggling in a number of ways. But if God were to pronounce a woe upon us, wow. Our thoughts of our struggles could perhaps be changed in a moment. "Woe is me," Isaiah, when he got a glimpse of the glory of God and he saw the presence of God, woe is me, for I am undone. Can you get a glimpse of what it's like to be undone? When you come before the throne of God, could you think about the woe that would be yours because you are a person of unclean lips? That's what Isaiah saw when he saw the glory of God. He sees who he is in light of who God is. So often we come before God and there's so many things on our minds. And there are many things. And sometimes I hear people say, could you put the thoughts of the world out of your mind? And sometimes I think, you know, I need the thought of the world. I need the thought right now of how the world is influencing me. I need the thought right now of how Satan is trying to drag me fully into the world. Instead of putting it out of my mind and focusing on God, maybe I need to focus on how the world has got a grip on me and see who I really am in the presence of God. Woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. But not only does he recognize his own lostness, he looks at those around about him. He recognizes that not only is he a man of unclean lips, but he dwells in the midst of a people of unclean lips. We go about life every day among people that we do not know sometimes. Do you see a people of unclean lips who need to get a glimpse of the glory of God? Who need to understand, even though we understand only a little, but they need to understand at least what we understand because they are a people of unclean lips. And you live with the people that you love, you work with the people that you love. Here's a man who recognized that he was in the same boat with everybody else in such need of God's blessings. And he receives it. One of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal which he had taken from the tongs of the altar. He touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged. Can you get a glimpse of what it's like to have your sins purged? Not in the way Isaiah did. We won't. But we can have that blessing if we can get a vision of our lostness and we can get a vision of the glory of God and we can understand what God is asking of us. We get a glimpse of Him to respect Him, to honor Him, to love Him, to obey Him, to serve Him every day. Isaiah had a clear vision of his lostness. And he had a clear vision of the lostness of the people that were all around him. But Isaiah gives us a glimpse of a response. Isaiah was touched deeply in a way that you and I need to be touched. When we come before the throne of God, we ought to feel what it's like to be lost. We ought to recognize our need for God, our need for Him to touch our lips, as it were, with that coal, to listen to His message that teaches us that repentance and baptism in the name of Jesus has been preached, it has been taught, and we need that as we come before the throne of God. Isaiah understood that. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Where's he going? You see, he lives in the midst of a people with unclean lips. Someone needs to take that message. Whom shall I send and who will go for us? And here's Isaiah's response. Here am I, send me. We have God seeking someone to go. God seeking someone to understand the vision of God and see that vision of God and the awesome nature of what it's like to be lost in ourselves. and in the people around us that we love. And Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me." So we have God who loves us, who has even this morning called us before His throne. As we come together to worship, He invited Isaiah to a specific response to good news. Good news that his sins had been cleansed. Good news that those people among whom he lived, whose lips were unclean because of sin, they too can be purged of their sins just as you and I can. God has acted to save us. God seeks us to come to Him. If we labor and are heavy laden with our sins, as we read that great invitation in Matthew 11 and verse 28, the invitation to come to Him and love Him enough to repent, to turn away from sin, be buried with Him in baptism. He'll purge our sins just as surely as that live coal touched the lips of Isaiah and his sins were purged. Can you get a glimpse of the glory of God? Can you get a glimpse of lostness without God? Can you get a glimpse this morning of any response that you need to make? That's our hope, and that's our prayer, that if anyone needs to come to the Lord, to listen to Him, to honor Him, to obey Him, to accept and perform the response that God has asked of us. That is why we sing this invitation song. Please come as we stand and as we sing if you need.